Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Hi there, a very warm welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to a fantastic weekend are Stuart Riley and David Jennings from the Racing Post, and Frank the Tank Hickey from Paddy Power, a top team and a top weekend of action to get stuck into. Stuart is back from Australia, where he has spent about 5 weeks covering the Spring Carnival, so to get his head around the fact that we're back with jumps and it's rainy and all that sort of thing. DJ's back from his stag weekend. Did you get back in one piece, DJ?
Yeah, just about, yeah. We had a projectile vomiting incident on Friday night, but Saturday was relatively stress-free, and it just Cheltenham, best place to go for a stag in the world.
Do we want to elaborate on the projectile vomiting incident? Was it funny or just disgusting?
No, it was actually fine. It was at the end of the night, but my mates decided to do this thing, you know, like a team sheet. So in Gaelic football, there's like 15 positions, and instead of positions for players, they had a shot. So I got to about number 12, which was like tequila or sambuca, and that was just lights out. Ooh, but I gave it a good shot.
Okay. Excuse the pun. Frank, you well? I haven't done a postcast with you for ages. How's your punting?
Yeah, all right. Nothing spectacular in there. Just kind of going about my business. But last weekend was tough. I backed two anti-post for the two big handicaps at Cheltenham, and one was Bennett Harrow, came out in the morning of the race, and the other wasn't declared for the Greatwood, but we'll come to that later.
Oh dear. And how are confidence levels for this week, Frank?
I have a rampy one, all right.
That's what we like to hear. Stewie, you in good form?
Yeah, very good, thanks.
Good, excited?
Yeah, very excited. It's nice to be back, and it's good racing to get stuck into.
Certainly is. So let's get stuck in then. We've got Haydock and Ascot on ITV. Loads of other stuff on Saturday, and then on Sunday, the Troy Town with Gordon Elliott with about a zillion runners, plus some decent fare down at Exeter as well. But without further ado, at Haydock at 3 o'clock is the big race of the weekend and indeed of the jump season so far. The Betfair Chase, 3 miles, 1.5 furlongs, and the five names that Frank is going to read out when he gives us Paddy Power's show of betting will illustrate just what a cracking contest this is. Take it away, Frank.
Yeah, Might Bite is even money. Native River 5-2, Bristol Demai 11-2, Thistlecrack 8-1, and Clandas Abort is 10-1.
Wow, wow, wow. Behind Stuart, you will see a picture of Might Bite and Native River dueling it out last year. A fantastic race. Stu, you go first. Who wins?
I think Native River wins it.
Yeah, I was surprised when I looked at the betting, Stu, why there's such a difference.
Yeah, I think
sounds like you are as well.
That's what swayed me towards Native River at the prices. I have to go that way. He got the better of him in the Gold Cup. He won that battle fair and square. Might Bite came there travelling. I thought he was going to go past. I thought he was the better horse. He just didn't prove to be. I know this is a slightly different test, but I think Native River impressed me twice last year. On his comeback at Newbury, he showed a lot more speed than I thought he had, and I don't think he'll be a walk over here. So I think he's the one they have to beat, and I'm surprised he's as big as he is.
It's an at the prices job, is it, Stu?
I think so, yeah.
DJ?
No, I'm the complete opposite, Bruce. I think this is as close to a good thing as you're going to get in Might Bite. The key thing here to remember is that it's a completely different race to the Gold Cup. Different track, different trip. I just thought in the Gold Cup, Nico was just trying to hang on to Might Bite for as long as he could. Obviously, stamina, as we know, was the big issue with Might Bite going in. Would he get up the hill over that trip? And Nico was just trying to hold on and hold on for as long as he could, trying to hit the last and hit the front on the run-in. I think you'll see completely different tactics on Might Bite. Might Bite, the real Might Bite, does what he did in the King George, what he's done throughout his chasing career. He breaks the hearts of horses earlier on in races, halfway through the race. I could see him even picking it up down the back tomorrow. And I think he could gallop them into submission, turn into the home straight. I think this is perfect for Might Bite. The ground, the track, the trip. I think all those things taken into consideration, I think he's by far the best horse in the race. And I just think these are his terms and conditions, and I think he'll win comfortably.
How many lengths will he win by, DJ?
Yeah, I'd be advising people to get involved in the overs, whatever the overs are with different firms. I'm sure you get about 3 or 4 to 1 from to win by, you know, over 4 lengths or more, because there's only 5 runners. They're not going to finish in a line. It's their first run of the season. Some are fitter than others. And I just thought Nicky Henderson's comments recently are really, really kind of refreshing to hear. He's comparing him to Sprinter Sakura, who's the best horse I've ever seen in my lifetime. So yeah, it's a big shout out to Mike Bight. I don't like tipping favourites in these big races, but I just don't see how he's going to get beaten.
DJ's incredible, isn't he? I said, how many lengths is he going to win by? He didn't say the number, but he went on for about another 8 minutes. Absolutely superb. Well played, DJ. Frank, what do you think will happen?
Yeah, I very much echo what David has said there. I think Mike Bight, the 2 furlong sort of trip, the slightly the sharper track, the ground is more in his favour. Like, Native River ground out that Gold Cup. He's like, his stamina was never in question. He's won a Welsh National. Mike Bight, like, probably his best performances have come at Kempton, which, look, I won't say it's the same as Haydock, but it's similarities, only going the other way around. Like, you have to think back, as a chaser, since he was beaten on his debut, he's only been beaten twice, in the Feltham at Kempton when he was going to win by half the track, and in last year's Gold Cup. He's just a really talented horse. He's a bit quirky, but to be fair to him, last year, like, you couldn't question his attitude. He did everything right all year. So I just think tomorrow, as David said, everything's in his favour, and I'd be very surprised if he's beaten.
Right, let's get the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Stu, away you go.
I'll go Native River, Mike Bight, Clan des Zobo, Thistlecrack, Bristol Demai.
DJ?
I love this question. I'm going to go Mike Bight, Bristol Demai, Native River, Clan des Zobo, and Thistlecrack.
And Frank?
Mike Bight, Native River, Clan des Zobo, Thistlecrack, Bristol Demai.
Okay, a fantastic race. Really looking forward to that. And by the way, if you want 50-1 Mike Bight, if you're a new Paddy Power customer, you can. You're obviously not going to be allowed £1,000, but it's a decent offer. If you want to take advantage of it, please do head to racingpost.com/freebets. Right then, let's take the other Haydock ITV races, starting with the 150. It's the Betfair Best Odds on ITV Races Handicap Hurdle, 2 mile, 3 furlongs. Frank, how do Paddy Power bet on this one?
Yeah, Black Mischief is 7-2, Sears Darris 9-2, Admiral Baltry 6-1, Cliffs of Dover 13-2, Mr. Antonini 7-1, Chitabello 8-1, and we're 10s bar.
We've got to watch our bets. We've got Chitabello, and who's the other one who sounds like that? I can't think.
Chitabalco.
Chitabalco, yeah, so watch your bets. DJ, who wins?
I'm a bit scared because this is one of my strongest fancies of the day, and I'm clashing with Frank Hickey, who's going to give it the heave-ho in a minute with a different horse. But I really like Cyrus Darius here in his first start for Colin Tizzard. He's had a wind-up, and you know, he just goes so well fresh. He's won after a 235-day break. He's won after a 167-day break. He's won after a 111-day break. He just goes so well fresh. Listening to Colin Tizzard's comments in his stable tour, he thinks he's a proper grade one chaser. It's interesting that this is a starting point. I think Haydock is the perfect track for him. I just go back to the day Don Cossack won the Melling Chase at Aintree. I was actually there in a different stag, and he won the Novice Hurdle that day to grade two, and he was brilliant. I think flat track, good ground. I think everything is in his favour here. He's changed from the Jeffersons to Colin Tizzard. And I would be hugely excited about him and would potentially be putting him up as my nap of the day, only for Frank Hickey is about to cut loose.
How do you know? You're not allowed to discuss each other's tips before we come on air, DJ. That's not fair.
He told me 2 minutes before I came on, okay, and now I'm demoralised.
Fair enough. Okay, then. So DJ really likes Cyrus Darius, but it sounds like Frank has got another strong fancy. What is it, Frank?
Yeah, I was burnt badly in an anti-post bet. I was very sweet on Mr. Antonini for the Great Wood, and I had been piling into that every week since he ran at Cheltenham on his comeback. And, of course, he wasn't declared, and I was gutted. I thought he must have had an issue, but he was entered up on this Monday, so I waited to see if he's declared, and he has been. Now, when I can see where David's coming from with Cyrus Darris going to Colin Tizzard, but he actually is disappointed in his 2 runs at Haydock, albeit in graded company and in a, I think it was a graduation chase there last year. But when you look at Mr. Antonini, he's only had 5 runs for Nigel Twiston Davis. He was with Gar Power in Ireland. He run well there, he'd shown promise, but he really took off when he went to Twiston Davis. He won a Leicester handicap of 119, a low enough start. He was second to Huntingdon, but then he went to the Imperial Cup. I urge anyone who didn't watch that race or can't remember to go back and watch it and watch how he travels through the race. He literally tanks through it the whole way. It's incredible that he found so much afterwards. But when you see what he's beaten and how the race has worked out, that's when I get excited. Now, the second that day, Call Me Lord, they pulled 9 lengths clear of the third. Call Me Lord won a grade 2 at Sandown after that, beating the likes of Little Rockefeller,
Old Guard and Holstone. He hammered them that day. The third What's Wrong With You hasn't run since. Huntman's Son was second to Kalashnikov in a beginner's chase up in Warwick. Man of Plenty was second in a Punchestown handicap at the festival. Silver Streak won the Swinton. The Welsh Champion Hurdle was touched off in the Greatwood. He is now £12 higher before getting reassessed for his Greatwood run. Fiddux was seventh. He's won two handicaps this season, £11 higher. Highway 101 was second in a handicap at Sandown, and over hurdles, has won two over out of three over fences. The likes of Le Patriot was pulled up in that race. He won an air handicap. And when you look, Mr. Antolini is only £8 higher than that. If you go to his reappearance run at Cheltenham over 2 miles five, he travels like the best horse in the race. He absolutely tanks through it. Now, I thought it was really telling in the Racing Post stable tour with Sam Twist and Davis. When he got to Mr. Antolini, he said that he had been sick prior to that and had missed some work and badly needed it. Now, for him to travel like that over 2 miles five, and he was coming to last hurdle, you're sure he's going to win. He kind of weakens out in it from there. But First Assignment won the race, who's a sharp price favourite to win the big handicap, the valuable handicap at Haydock tomorrow. The fourth, Lungarno Palace, was third to Speedo Boy, who was a handicap blot at Cheltenham last year. The fact this is only £8 higher is nearly criminal. He's a massive each way chance. I think he's a massive. I'm going to get rightly stuck in. Like, there's always a chance one's well handicapped against him, but I really, really fancy him.
Apart from that, why else do you fancy him, Frank? That was compelling.
That was beautiful.
That was compelling. Blimey, follow that, Stu.
Yeah, I can't. I actually wrote down for this race that I don't really fancy much, but
that's
now
fine.
I do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was one of those great Frank Hickey, I'm going to grind you into backing this horse, and I will certainly do it. I might have a little saver there, though, DJ. You were very compelling as well.
To be honest, Bruce, I wouldn't bother.
Or the forecast. Oh, it's great to have you back on, Frank. The 225, the Betfair Exchange Stayers Handicap Hurdle, and we've got an exciting favourite here, Frank.
Yeah, First Assignment is looking to back up the Cheltenham win last week. He's 6-5. Paisley Park is 9-2. Captain Collistock's 5-1. Falls in Blue at 13-2. Theo's Charm is 8-1. Bobo Mac 9-1. And we're 20 spare.
You going to take the jolly on, Frank?
On what he did last week, it would be very difficult to take him on. He won like a really good horse, and there's a race run every year at Sandown called the EBF Final, and it's always a great point to the future. Like, really good horses have won or ran well in it. Like, Manila Wards won a couple of years ago, Many Clouds won it a few years back. This First Assignment was third in it. He's really improving. Now, the only issue with him would be, if you look at the quotes after the race, Ian Williams is saying that he's not the most robust horse, and it would just be in the back of your mind if you're backing something at 6-5, 5-4, and you're not sure how he's going to come out of the race. Like, obviously they think he's fine because they're running him, but it is a bit of a fact-finding mission running him so quickly. It's probably not the greatest thing to be backing horses like that. If I had to take a flyer on one at a price, I might chance Bobo Mac each way if I was having a bet. He was second at Newbury last time to Jersey Bean, who was an impressive enough winner, and he was second yesterday at Market Raisin off a higher mark. That Bobo Mac was having his first start after a wind up, he seemed to really appreciate that. So as an each way bet, I might have a few quid in him, but it's a difficult one with that fav. He'd probably win, but not knowing how robust he is, yeah, he
okay. Wouldn't be steaming into him. Jolly good. Stu, what's your approach to this one going to be?
I think this is probably one of the worst editions of this race there's been in a while. There's been a lot of very good horses come out of this race. It's a race I always look forward to. I was really excited looking down the 5-day entries, and the final field is, it's a little bit disappointing. I think First Assignment is probably the horse to be with here, provided he's come out of the race, as Frank hinted at. There's only two horses in this race that are even priced up for the Stayers Hurdle right now. Paisley Park, who's the top weight, is the other one. He's around a 33-1 shot for the Stayers. First Assignment's a 40-1 shot, and he's getting £12 from him. I mean, realistically, at the weights, he should be very hard to beat. He's very well in on the official handicap as well. One horse caught my eye, Shades of Midnight. He's well treated. There's a piece of back form he has with Silsoul on the best ground he's ever encountered. It was good soft that day. Most of his racing's been on heavy, and you think of him as a heavy ground horse. That was actually his best piece of form. It was really good run right behind Silsoul, who's a very good horse to be up to this sort of grade. He's dropped down the handicap at a price. He's one that I like.
Okay, and DJ.
A couple of interesting things here, Bruce. I'll be as quick as I can. I play a good bit of golf with Gary O'Brien from At The Races, and he's the owner, this core partnership of False and Blue. And I played golf with him a good few weeks ago now. I don't know how long ago it was. But I said, what's the plan for Faulds and Blue? He was very unlucky in last year's Irish Grand National. And he goes, oh, we're going to go for the hurdle race in Haydock on Betfair Chase Day. And I said, oh, that's the fixed brush hurdle. He goes, no, it's not the fixed brush hurdle anymore. It's the Betfair Exchange Stayers hurdle. It seemed to me that this has been the plan ever since the Grand National, such an unlucky run there. He is much lower over hurdles as he is than he is over fence. He's 1.42 over fences. He's 1.28 in Ireland over hurdles. He's £4 higher in England. But he goes really well fresh. And it's very interesting that this is the race that they pinpointed to try and exploit that hurdle mark. I think Haydock will suit him. Richard Johnson has been booked to ride. The race is cut up a little bit. I think that's fine for him. You know, he's fairly straightforward. He's an easy ride. I just think the favourite is going to be hard to beat. But the fact that he's been laid out for this race, he goes well fresh. I just think he's at the prices. He's the one in the race that's overpriced, Faulds and Blue.
Okay. I thought you said there were two interesting things. Was there another one?
No, that's it.
Okay. Jolly good. That was interesting, though. Did you win? Did you beat him at golf?
He's like obviously a far better tipster than me and a far better presenter, but I'm a better golfer. So there
Jolly
you go.
Good. That's the main thing. 3.35, better value on the Betfair Exchange Handicap Chase. 3 miles, a furlong and a half. Only 6 runners, Frank. A disappointing field in terms of numbers, but an interesting betting heat. How do you bet?
Yeah, Captain Redbeard's just favourite at 9-4. Vintage Clouds, 5-2. Bracker Door, 100-30. Taking Risk, 13-2. Buywise, 9-1. And Delusion of Grandeur is 10-1.
I've just about got out of the habit of backing Buywise, Stu. So who should I be backing here?
I quite like Vintage Clouds here. Trevor Hemmings had 4 in here at the entry stage. He had Testify, that decent horse of Donald McCain's in there. That was jocked up with Brian Hughes, and I was gutted because I thought that meant he'd be going here and Vintage Clouds wouldn't. This is the sort of race that's been a real stepping stone for those sort of decent national horses. A lot of them end up in the Grand National, but you know they win races like the Midlands, like the Welsh. And I've long had Vintage Clouds down as that type. The fact that he's going here, the small field will suit him. Yeah, everything seems to have lined up for him, and he's who I'm going to be backing.
Vintage Clouds, DJ, have you stopped coughing?
Yeah, I've kind of a sore throat all week, but.
That's what happens when you go on stag weekends. That's just that's the least you get. Everyone comes back from a stag week, and don't you get that feeling of like absolute desolation as well when you come back and you just it's all over.
Yeah, life is just over. Like Monday morning, I was in the absolute horrors. So sore throat. I'm pretty happy with that outcome, to be honest.
Good.
It's better than death. But I'm devastated here because I think the best handicap chaser in Britain, if people want to put this into their trackers, it's a horse I'm so excited about going chasing this year. It's a horse called Duke de Champs that's trained by Philip Hobbs. It was entered in this race and a race at Ascot. We only seen him twice over fences last season when Philip Hobbs' string were completely out of form. And I just was dying for him to run in this race. I thought it was the perfect race for him. And he's not running because the ground isn't soft enough. But I'd advise listeners, Duke de Champs, put him in your tracker. When we get a bit of rain, this is the best handicap chaser in Britain. As regards this race, I was throwing all my eggs into the one basket with Duke de Champs when I studied it during the week. Captain Redbeard deserves to be favoured. He's got good Haydock form. At the prices, he's no value. But I do think Captain Redbeard is the most likely winner.
And Frank?
Yeah, I'd be in the Vintage Clouds fan club. He's a horse I'm adamant will win one of the nationals in the next couple of years. I think he just missed out by 1 or 2 in the national last year. His form is very consistent. Like he was 4th in the Welsh national when he was backed off the boards, 3rd in the Ultima, 3rd in the Scottish national. He was 2nd in a Grade 2 up in, was it Warwick or Weatherby, to Ballyoptic. He's just really consistent. And you have to remember, on his reappearance last year at Aintree, he won by 17 lengths, so he obviously goes well fresh. So for me, he's the one. He just needs to get maybe £4 or £5 rise, and then they know they'll be guaranteed a run in the National in April. And he's one to keep in sight for the likes of that later on in the season.
Excellent. Okay, that was Haydock. 3 good races at Ascot coming next.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Okay, welcome back. Let's look at Ascot. 3 races on ITV. We'll start with the 205. It's the Christie 1965 Chase. And good old Politilog heads the market. Frank, how short is he at the moment?
Yeah, he's even money. Benatar is 3-1, Charabelle 130, Gold Present 8-1, Hammersley Lake 20s, and Sizing Granite is 33-1.
David Jennings, what do we do here?
Oh, do you know what? I'm going to take on Politolog because I think obviously he's the best horse in the race, but there's just enough doubts to take him on. I went through the race and I do like Politolog. He's not one of these horses that I always take on because I don't like him. I do like him as a horse. I just think he's just going to struggle a little bit this season. I think he's going to be hard to place because I don't think he's a proper top-notch grade one horse. So for that reason, I'm going to take him on. And the horse I'm going to take him on with is Gold Present, who on the figures has £16 to find. But I just go back to that Silver Cup win last December at Ascot. He absolutely bolted up off a mark of 147. It was a proper handicap as well. Frodon was second. 007 was well beaten. Single Farm Payment was well beaten. And his jumping was absolutely spectacular. He's had a wind operation, and I think that's crucial because I do think he needed one. Around Ascot, where jumping is so paramount, I think if he gets into a good rhythm, I think he could potentially win a race like this. I think races like this are going to be his bread and butter this year. I don't think they're going to go for the National because I don't think he stays. I think this trip is suitable. And when you read Nicky Henderson's comments in the stable tour, he does think there's a proper, big, decent handicap in him. Perhaps it's a grade of chase and perhaps it's this Ascot chase. I think this is here for the taking. And I think he's probably a little bit underestimated. I think 8-1 is a bit of value with Paddy Power.
Frank, are you going to look beyond the fav here?
I am. Just about. I think, look, he's obviously the most proven horse in the race, and his entry win was very good form. But the one, it's kind of a little bit of chasing money from last weekend. I was on Benatar at a price for the Bet Victor Gold Cup, and I was getting very excited when he was into a short of 7-1, 13-2. And then I woke up to the bad news that he'd been pulled out and the stablemate goes and wins. But he's 2-2 at Ascot, which is one thing. Now, the one thing about him is he can be very free in his races. And the last day at Newton Abbott was like even worse than ever. He was very bad. But if that's just knocked the freshness out of him a little bit, he's a huge chance here. Like, if you go back to the JLT, there's not many races have worked out much better than that. Like, Shatter Love, who won, was second in the Grade 1 of Fairyhouse to Album Photo, second recently to Snow Falcon and Down Royal. Terrafour was second, won a Grade 1 at Aintree. The Ford Kenboy won a Limerick Grade 3, a Punchtown Handicap in a procession off 147.
And will win the Hennessy next week.
Potentially. Finian's Oscars was fifth, won a Grade 1 at Aintree. Big Martyr was seventh, won a Grade 2 at Ayr. Modus was 8th, won a Cheltenham Handicap of 146, and even Invitation Only, who was pulled up, was 3rd in a Grade 1 at Fairyhouse and was still in contention with unseating at 2 out at Punchtown in a Grade 1. So the form is incredibly strong, and he's one that if he learns to settle, he's definitely got the potential to make up into a Ryanair horse before the year is out.
Okay.
I'm going to chance him tomorrow.
Okay, I must stop calling it the Hennessy. Stuart, who wins this?
I started at Benatar. He's a horse I absolutely love. I've been really impressed by him when he won at Ascot last year. I was worried by the small field, so I went into the pace map for the race, and it scared the hell out of me because...
Blimey, what does that consist of? Well, a scary pace map?
Well, because you see what Frank was saying about how he really doesn't settle well. He needs a strong pace. I don't see him getting one here. Unless Sam Twiston Davis kicks on Politolog, which is a possibility, I think they're going to let... Gold Present have it his own way on the front and go whatever pace he likes. If he's got any sense, he'll slow it up from the front and you take one of your big rivals straight out of it. So from that position, I just put me off him. I can't see him winning if they go a dawdle, and I think that's what's likely to happen. So then I started looking for alternatives. Hammersley Lake was the horse that really caught my eye. He had a run two starts back. He gave £5 and a 5¾ length beating to Charbel, who's 4-1. He's 20-1, I think Frank said. He's a much, much bigger price. So that really caught my eye at the price. I was getting very excited, but obviously he went across to America. I'm not sure that's the ideal prep for this. And so I have landed on the same horse as David. Gold Present is the one that I've ended up falling upon because I think he is going to get his way in front. The race... He can conduct the race to suit himself. I do think Politolog's the best horse in the race. He probably does come past him, but Gold Present's going to get everything his own way, and he goes incredibly well fresh.
Lovely. So. Pace Stewart and DJ Fancy Gold Present. Frank fancies Benatar. Let's do the 240. It's the Coral Hurdle. Frank, how do Paddy Power bet?
Yeah, if the cap fits, it's 11-10. We have a Dream 6-4, Old Guard 9-2, Raven Black 20s, and we're 33s bar.
And DJ, you can go first.
Yeah, this is where we were hoping to see Lorena Bruce. Unfortunately, the ground isn't soft enough for her. And we're left with probably a substandard renewal of the race when you consider that Annie Power won it and Faheen won it. I'd be pretty sweet on We Have a Dream reversing the form with If the Cap Fits. Officially, he's rated £6 higher than If the Cap Fits. And I think over this trip, that Wincanton form, that's exactly what We Have a Dream doesn't want. I think that sharp trip around Wincanton, they tried to make plenty of use out of him. It's always, as we know, so hard for a juvenile, for a second season juvenile. I thought he acquitted himself quite well. I think this trip is just absolutely perfect for him. I think everything is in his favour here. He's had the run. I think he's a pretty good horse. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up being the best of all the juveniles from last season this year. He's the one, he's a kind of an imposing individual. He's got the scope to really kind of turn into a proper chaser in time. And yeah, I'd be pretty sweet on him turning around the form with If the Cap Fits.
Okay, Frank, who are you sweet on?
It's not a race I have a strong opinion on, but at the prices, I'd probably take a chance on Old Guard. He's run a cracker last weekend off a mark of 152 in the Great Wood, finishing third, not beaten far, beaten only three lengths. He was staying on that day. I just think the other two have question marks about them. Like, We Have a Dream, the four-year-olds, they've been getting run over this year, so I wouldn't rate the form. Like, his mark of 156, I'd be surprised if he could run up to be honest. If the Cap Fits, was beaten two and a half lengths by Verdana Blue the last day. He's getting £6 off Old Guard. Now, when I was looking at the race, even if you're taking the Greatwood form, Old Guard finished half length and ahead of Verdana Blue, giving her £1, while she beat If the Cap Fits 2 1/4 lengths, getting £3 or off If the Cap Fits. So basically, I was kind of figuring out that Old Guard was in and around the same ratings wise through that. And I know you can't take it literally, but then
Verdana got £3 off If the Cap Fits, yeah.
So I was kind of saying that maybe Old Guard on that form was kind of in and around the same as If the Cap Fits, but yet one's 11 to 10 and one's 9 to 2, and Nichols wouldn't be running him unless he thought he was in a good shape after last week. So at 9 to 2, I'd chance him, but I wouldn't have a strong opinion in the race. I don't think it's a very good race.
There was a wry, Riley smile when you said Old Guard. Does that chime in with what you fancy, Stu?
I mean, I was looking at the race and kind of thinking, God, Old Guard's going to win this, and it's going to be one of the worst coral hurdles of all time. I managed to talk myself out of it and into If the Cap Fits. The form with We Have a Dream, they ran at Wincanton 2 weeks ago. He beat We Have a Dream quite comfortably. And obviously, take the point, DJ, saying that the Ascot track will suit We Have a Dream more, step up and trip, he'll come on for the run, all that sort of stuff. But If the Cap Fits ran a much better race that day, travelled all over him, quick and clear of him, and the step up in trip I think is going to suit him too. He started his life over hurdles, over 2 miles, 2.5 at Exeter. Like, he's always been, that kind of suggests that you're looking at more of a staying prospect than a speedy 2 miler. The fact that he's done what he's done at 2 miles, I kind of think is has been a bonus, as trainers like to say. I think he's a horse that when he steps up in trip will get better and better. He's proven he's got the beating of We Have a Dream. If you go on best prices, you can get the same price about If the Cap Fits as We Have a Dream, and he beat him out of sight 2 weeks ago. I don't think you have to look too much further.
Okay. And the other televised contest at Ascot is easily the most competitive of the three. It's the 3:15, the Gerald Bertrand Hurst Park Handicap Chase. 2 mile, 1 furlong. Lots of old favourites in the betting. Frank, take it away.
Modus is 4-1, Ozzy the Oscar 6-1, Surname 13-2, 1 for Billy 7-1, The Enval 9-1, Sperdek, Duke of Navan and Val Lizard 10-1, or 12 is Bar.
And Frank, you can go first.
Yeah, I'd probably just chance Suriname maybe each way. I don't know if there's a bit bigger out there, but he shaped as if he'd come on for the run at Carlisle when he was very heavily punty. Went off even money in the race that Mr. Whittaker won and Happy Diva was second. Now, obviously, Mr. Whittaker ran quite well last week, finishing fourth, and Happy Diva was travelling quite strongly when brought down four out. So the race might have been quite useful. And even if you go back to last year when he was second in the City Isles, only beaten a neck by Terra 4, which suggests his mark of 150 is workable. And he is 2 from 2 over fences when running over 2 miles. So, yeah, I thought I'd chance him.
Okay, and Stu.
Yeah, I like Suriname. I think this race becomes quite interesting because you've got Suriname in there and you've got Sperdek, and the two of them are both very prone to going off like scalded cats. And if they take each other on as well for the lead, then you're going to get an absolute pace burn up here. The one horse that that would really suit would be John Joe's horse, Champagne at Tara. He likes to come from off the pace. If he's held up and they do go a million miles an hour, the race could fall very well for him. But the horse I just can't get away from in this race is San Benedetto. He's a massive price, and he's on his best form. He's incredibly well treated off 152. He's a Grade 1 winner in this off 152. He's been running against really good horses and doing himself justice in some very good races. So, yeah, I think at the prices, he's the one I'm going to side with.
Surname for Frank, San Benedetto for Stu. Who for David Jennings?
Sparadek, Bruce. I know what Stu is staying there. Stu loves his tactics. He really does like his tactics. And I know there's going to be a bit of a pace burn up front. But I just think Sparadek, that's all he knows. And I think if something does take him on, so be it. He's just going to do his own thing. He's had a wind up, which I think is key as well. And I go back to that Clarence House run last year against Undersoul. That was an absolutely incredible run on the face of it. Like when you think, like he had Sam Benedetto miles behind, Kyle Morlock miles behind, Brain Power, my beloved Brain Power, obviously fell at the second last that day. But it was a cracking run. And if you go, even his run at the end of last season at Punchestown, he led to the second last in what is always the hottest novice handicap chase of the year. Really good horses have come out of it, like Balco de Flow. Cadmium won it last year at Punchestown. He ran in that race off a mark of 150, and he just rattled along to the second last, and he got a little bit tired in the closing stages. He's won fresh. He won first time out last season over hurdles at Exeter. And I just think if he does get into a rhythm out in front, Ascot really suits him, as we've seen in the Clarence House. And I'm just hoping that they won't catch him. So it's spare deck to make all for me.
Thank you, chaps. Right then, there's loads of great action elsewhere away from the ITV cameras. We've got the rest of Haydock, we've got the rest of Ascot, we've got Huntingdon, Garran Park, Lingfield, Wolverhampton. Stu, without giving away your nap, any other horses you fancy on Saturday?
No, I've stuck to the ITV races.
Perfect, that's what we like to hear. DJ, I'm sure that won't be the case with you.
No, I'll be as quick as I can. I think Grand Sansi will win again for Paul Nicholls and Harry Cobden. He's in the 12-10 at Haydock. Just a real, real improver. And I think it's a good decision by Paul Nicholls to get him out again quickly. I thought he looked a work in progress last week, and I think he'll win again. That's in the 12-10 at Haydock. In the, if I get up to 12-40 at Haydock, really interesting race. Bishop's Road obviously loves Haydock. But the one that I was interested in here was Sam Red for Dan Skelton and Harry Skelton. It's rate 122. I think it could have more to offer off 122. That's Sam Red in the 12-40. And moving on to Goran Park. Really, really interesting card at Goran Park. And the one I like is in the 110. Yeah, sorry, the 110. It is the Ladbrokes Novice Hurdle. Sorry, are we allowed to mention Ladbrokes? We'll just go with the Novice Hurdle. Yeah, the one I like is called Buttons and Bows for Pat Flynn, and J.P. McManus has bought it. I thought it was very impressive winning a 24-runner maiden hurdle at Cork last time, and it beat an odds-on shot of Gordon Elliott's. I thought that had a big chance, but probably the first in Haydock would be my strongest fancy of them, Paul Nicholls's.
Thank you, DJ. And Frank, who's in your roundup?
Yeah, we'll start at Gore in the 12:35. This is one to more keep an eye in the market. A couple of weeks ago, Henry de Bram had introduced a nice mare called Honeysuckle, and she was backed as if defeat was out of the question at Fairy House, and she duly delivered. She was very impressive. Now, the same connections have a horse called Sonoria, who cost 130 sterling. She won a point impressively enough, and I just keep an eye. It's not the strongest ever looking maiden hurdle, and just be keeping an eye on the market there. She might be useful enough. Over at Ascot, the 12:55, the 3 mile handicap chase. Be interested to see Cresswell Legend. Quite a useful handicap hurdler. He won up in Musbrough, a mark of 127 last year. He, on the face of it, you might have been a little bit disappointed with his two chase runs. He was beaten at Perth over 2.5 miles, but he was beaten by Cuba Mania next that day. Cuba Mania ended up going to Cheltenham and winning. The second day he ran the handicap off mark of 132 against a horse called Drover's Lane. Now Drover's Lane went to Aintree the next time and was travelling really strongly when he made an error, I think three out. That put paid his chances there, but he absolutely bolted up off £7 higher at market raise yesterday, so he's probably going to go up another possibly even £10. So it was probably a very difficult task he had that day to run against him. He's off the same mark of 132. I thought he'd have a solid each-way chance. And won at a potentially very big price in the 130 at Ascot. Jube Olympics for Seamus Mullins. In the Mayor's Handicap Hurdle over 2 miles, 5.5 furlong. She was third in that big Newbury handicap for the Mayor's behind Roxana, running on really strongly that day. She got outpaced down the hill at Cheltenham then in April and ran on really strongly there. Both of those over 2 miles, 4. The extra furlong and a half will really suit her, and I thought Barry Geraghty being booked really caught the eye there. I thought she could be a bit of a price and was worth chancing each way. And in the 1240 Haydock, Bishop's Road, can't get away from, I think. Since 2011, there's been 7 renewals of the race. 3 horses carried 11 stone 12, and 2 have carried 11 stone 11 to victory. Bishop's Road's a class act in the race. He carries top weight. To me, it looks a weak enough renewal. He's had 2 runs at Haydock. He won a Grand National trial off 144 very easily a few years back, and he was third in the Peter Marsh where Bristol Des Moines hacked up. That was off a mark of 149. He's running here off 135, and Richard Johnson's booked. I think he will be difficult to beat.
Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Stuart Riley.
In the 335 at Haydock, my nap is Vintage Clouds.
David Jennings.
Bruce, I'm really, really sorry about this, but I cannot even start to contemplate defeat for Might Bite. So Might Bite in the 3 o'clock at Haydock.
Frank Hickey.
It's got to be 150 Haydock, Mr. Antolini.
You're having a big smash up on this, Frank, do you think?
I will have to, like, as in, I'll be honest with you, I had it for the price of a nice car last week. So if I don't have a right cut, like, were he to go in and I only had a small bet on him, I would be as sick as David Jennings was last Monday morning.
Good stuff. Thank you, chaps. Let's do Sunday next.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Hi there, Bruce Millington, Stuart Riley, David Jennings and Paddy Powers. Frank Hickey looking ahead to Sunday, and all roads lead to Navan, where the highlight of the day is the 2.30. It's the Ladbrokes Troy Town Handicap Chase, an absolute sea of maroon. There's about a million Giggins Town runners, so many in fact, they'll probably have to invent some new colours for the various caps that they will be wearing. And I'm sure as well the Gordon Elliott runners dominate the betting. Frank, take it away.
Yamnila Bo is 13-2, Spider's Web 8-1, Outsam 10-1 on Squator and 2A Parmi. Arkwish 12-1, Rogue Angel 12-1, General Principle and Woodswell are both 14-1 and were 16s bar.
David, have you spent long trying to suss the winner of this one?
Most of the last week, Bruce, to be honest with you. This is one of my favourite races of the year, as I have grown up with it all my life. And I actually tipped a horse in the paper today, which is not running, which is a bit of a nightmare because I thought Velocity Boy was a huge price at 20-1. But I was between two all week and I couldn't decide which one to tip. And the fact that Velocity Boy is not running, I'm absolutely thrilled with now, because I like one of the 16-1 bar ones that Frank didn't mention there. And that is Dunicus from the Gordon Elliott stable. You look at his form and you'll see PPP and you'll say Jennings is talking shite again, which I'm sure people will say is true. But Dunicus is verging on grade one class over fences, okay? He's rated 150 and he fully deserves that mark, if not a little bit more. Go back to his form. He won the grade two novice chase at Limerick last year at Christmas. Album Photo fell at the last that day, but Dunicus probably did have his measure. He went on to run in the grade one at Leopardstown, probably the hottest novice chase of the year in Ireland, the Flowgas novice chase. It was won by Mona Lee. Album Photo was second, Invitation Only was third, Snow Falcon was fifth, Tombstone was in it, the Storyteller who won at Cheltenham was seventh, Bonpapa, Sutton Place. It was a cracking race. Dunicus was beaten a length and three quarters that day in a proper grade one. Now his form went a bit awry after that, but the fact of the matter now is that he's still off a mark of 150. They think he's verging on grade one class. He's booked a £7 claimer in Liam McKenna, who is very, very good. I did Gordon Stapletour with him, and we mentioned the Troy Town, a race he loves to win. This was the first horse he mentioned to me about the Troy Town was Dunicus. I think they think he's well handicapped. He's won first time out for the last two seasons in a row. I know he is top weight, but he is top weight for a reason. And I think Dunicus can give Gordon Elliott his fifth straight win in the Troy Town Chase. He's 16-1 now. There's no way he'll be 16-1 on the day.
Well played, DJ. That was excellent. I really did get completely won over there. Frank, can you sway me away from Dunicus now?
No, it's a strong case David's made. The two that kind of caught my eye a little bit, one was Tuae Permi for Noel Meade. He's only had the one run for Noel. He was with Miles Morris. If you go back far enough, he was a decent, like on his chase debut last September, he hammered Berlad. Kind of form tailed off then, but on his there is the worry he's just best fresh, but he was a very impressive winner of a handicap at Galway there a few weeks ago, and he won very easy. Now it was a bad enough race, he's got £10 for that, but he is only a 5-year-old, he's open to any amount of improvement. I thought he'd have an each way chance, and just won at a price, and look, it's he's a 10-year-old and he's not going to be improving, but mine now won a pretense qualifier at Leopardstown at Christmas, beating a great view, and he did that off a mark of 135. He was third in the Blazers at Galway in August behind Snugs for Benny and A-Rate, who were probably the two other really well handicapped horses in the race, off a mark of 125. He gets in here off 128. I've no doubt he's well handicapped, and he's a decent each way price as well. I'd give him a squeak, but it's not a race I have a massive opinion on.
Cool, you could have fooled me. There's loads of opinions there. Stuart, what's your opinion?
The horse that caught my eye in here was another of Gordon Elliott's, was Ned Stark. He was a horse that was with Alan King previously, and he's been one of those horses. He's been spent more time off the track than on it. He's had a few injuries. He's been a long time between drinks several times in his career, and he's always hinted at having a huge amount of ability. The fact that he's moved to Gordon Elliott is promising, because he's not going to pick up a washed up old thing from Alan King's unless he thinks he can do something special with it. The fact that he's got him in here is also interesting. He's a big price, and yeah, he's a horse that I've followed him to the well a few times, and he's been a frustrating horse to follow, but I can't let him go unbacked here, because there's an awful lot there that catches your eye with Gordon taking on the challenge of trying to get a win out of him, and yeah, I'll be having a few quid on him.
Lovely, plenty of food for thought there on the big race. Anything on the Nav and undercard you like, DJ?
Oh, Bruce, I think I'm going to try and go through the card here, okay? In the first race, Deffy Blue finished second to Brace Yourself in a really good maiden hurdle at Down Royal. I think Deffy Blue will win the first. Gypsy Island is likely to be all the rage in the 12:30. But you know what? She might just be a shorter price than she should, because JP McManus has bought her. And I thought Put the Kettle On ran an absolute sledger when
very aptly named, because I think me and Stu probably can put the kettle on by the time you've finished. But go on, crack on.
Very, that was nice. I like that, Bruce. Put the Kettle On was second to Mr. Blue Sky, who Willie Mullins thinks the world of. And I think Put the Kettle On might be a little bit of value against Gypsy Island. In the 1 o'clock, the Monksfield, the Grade 3 novice hurdle, I'm going to give Felix DeGé another chance, because I think he's misunderstood. I think he's, because he's keen, we think he's a speed horse. I think he's a stayer. The step up and trip might enable him to jump a little bit better. In the 1:30, Warnack, number 13 for Matthew Smith and Andrew Lynch, rated 88 on the flat, is 103 over hurdles. He has to be thrown in off that mark. My anti-post, racing post, Arkell Fancy runs in the 2 o'clock. That is Paloma Blue, trained by Henry de Bromhead. Apparently, schooling has gone brilliantly. So Paloma Blue in the 2 o'clock. Dunacus, as I said already, in the 2:30. In the 3 o'clock, the name escapes me, was very, very impressive at Nace last time. I don't think the handicapper has caught up with him. In the 3:30, the list at Mayor's Bumper, Yukon Lil, I think, can win again for Willie Mullins and Richie Deegan. There you go.
That's brilliant. Gone through the card in about a minute. Great job. Frank, who else do you like at Navan?
Yeah, the ones that caught my eye, Gypsy Island, Peter Fahey, David's talked about her already. Look, the day she ran her bumper at Ballinrobe, we weren't long finding out that the price was too big. We got absolutely smashed that on that, and she won really easy. I think she probably would be hard to beat. Interesting to see how Paloma Blue gets on. He needs to be good, though, to be more impressive than Lawler, who won at Cheltenham last week. I don't think I've been as impressed by a novice first time out as I was by him.
It's shaping up into a good race this year, isn't it, Frank?
Potentially.
What did you think of Kalashnikov?
I thought Kalashnikov was satisfactory. He didn't blow your mind away. But I'm a massive fan of Kalashnikov, but I backed Lawler after his run on Sunday.
He did look good, didn't he?
For a horse to do that first time out, there's not that many. I know some of the time boys were crabby, but sometimes you got to believe your eyes, and his jumping and travelling, he could have won by further if he wanted to. He could have went faster if he wanted to. He's a Grade 2 bumper winner. He's a Grade 1 hurdle winner, and he looks like he's a better chaser. I was very impressed with him. But anyway, back Plum and Poo, be interesting how he gets on, and I agree with Paul on the, or with David on the handicap hurdler. the name's just gone from me. The name escapes me. I would do that on purpose. He was really well handicapped. He run really well at Nace, and I'd say he'll take a lot of beating.
Okay, well done, chaps. Now, elsewhere in Britain on Sunday, we've got Exeter and Uttoxeter. Stu, I don't know if you've managed to pick a winner, but there's certainly a horse we should be looking at down at Exeter, isn't there? Good old Lil Rockefeller.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's taken to chasing better than I thought he would. There's actually the horse that I fancy at Exeter is against him, is another one of those horses that drummed up quite a following two seasons ago, To Be Fair, if you remember him, went on quite the sequence, then went to the Pertemps, didn't quite deliver on the day, but ran a great race. Last season was a bit of a write-off. He came back this season. I think he started off over hurdles. They'd always wanted to go chasing with him. Great big chasing type. Of the two of them, him and Little Rockefeller, you'd have always said he'd have taken to chasing better than Little Rockefeller. The fact that Little Rockefeller's done so well, obviously is encouraging, but yeah, I would look to take him on with To Be Fair, who's a great big hulk of a horse, and
should be a good race, shouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, should be a cracking race.
2:20 at Exeter on Sunday. Now then, just to piss off all the people who say that the build up to Cheltenham starts too early, I want to get a fresh Cheltenham thought from each of you before we go, DJ.
Oh, does it have to have ran so far this season, yeah?
Well, yeah. Just give me you're always thinking about Cheltenham. You dream of nothing else apart from, obviously, the lovely Aoife. So what have you come up with this week? What's coming to your radar for the festival?
Okay, well, I would advise people to back Paloma Blue for the Arkle before he runs on Sunday. Other than that, I was blown away by Malone Road, who won the bumper at Punchestown last Sunday. It just looked a spectacular performance. Now, I did a National Hunt season preview with Gordon Elliott, and he seemed to think that there was potentially two or three as good, if not better, than Malone Road. Now, I have a feeling that he's changed his mind after that. And we all know that one of them is Envoy Allen, who was purchased for huge money. So that would be interesting. And
it's the first straight to the festival of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Straight to the festival. You know it runs in the race. You know he's good. You know he handles good ground. And the key thing about Malone Road is that he's not overly big. Like, he's a nice, he's kind of nicely shaped horse, and I think he'll suit the hurly burly of the champion bumper, so that's why they're keen to go there. He's been brilliant, as you know, Bruce. You've seen him first time out as well. He looked very, very good. If I was to advise anybody to have an anti-post fan bet at Cheltenham before a horse runs, I would advise them to back Top of the Game for the RSA.
Top of the Game for the RSA. Right then, so Frank, you've already given the big G up to Lawler. Who else do you like for Cheltenham?
I had one other bet, anti-post bet, so I had two anti-post bets for Cheltenham, and the other one was midway through the slower chase, nicking a bit of a price on Soreal. Now, Altur is obviously going to be terribly difficult to beat, but anything can happen in racing, you know, were he not to turn up. If you look at the way Soreal jumps, there are very few horses are as quick over a fence as him. He's unbelievable. And while people were knocking the form saying, oh, he's only beaten Simply Ned 2.5 lengths, you only have to remember that Simply Ned would have beaten Min at Leopardstown at Christmas, only for getting the interference. So he got it in the stewards' room, but he would have beaten him that day. Like, he's not a bad mark at all. And the way Soreal jumps, and the likelihood of getting a strong pace with the likes of St. Calvados in the race, and maybe others later on in the year, it'll really suit him. And I think he'll be ridden to kind of pick up the pieces in these big races, and he excites me.
So
he excites me a lot.
Nicked a little each way, did you, Frank, or did you go win only?
Normally I'd go win only, but just with the way Altior is, I backed him each way at a price.
For the champion chase these days?
I think it's about ranging between 10 and 14 the last time I checked. He was 25s halfway through the race. I was like, there's no point in waiting until the end here. He's going to win.
Okay, very shrewd.
But they would be the two that have really caught my eye. Obviously Malone Road as well, but would... Like, my reason for going on Lawler would be the Arkle tends to cut up, and you could be looking at 6 or 7 running. The bumper, you will get 20 runners, and we haven't seen half of them yet. So it wouldn't entice me in yet, although he does look a superstar.
Okay, and Stu, I guess you're trying to work out what day it is, never mind what's going to win at Cheltenham. Maybe I'm just touched down from the other side of the world.
Yeah, you've thrown a bit of a curveball
at
me.
That's fine. I'll tell you what, in that case, Stu, unless you've got one.
I've come up with a thought while DJ bought me some time with his with his ramblings. The thought that I've come up with is this. I don't think Thistlecrack is going to do it on Saturday. I think the Tizards are going to discover they have a bona fide superstar in Native River, and I think that the former Stayers Hurdle winner could be could be quick to be switched back to hurdles.
Putting back over the smaller obstacles.
Absolutely. So. And if that were to happen, it's a weak enough division. He'd half in price pretty quickly, even if he doesn't run too well on Saturday. So I might seek out a price on him.
I like your style there, Stu. Well done. Now, Stu, obviously you're just getting your head back together, coming back from Australia, washing the underwear and doing all those household chores and getting rid of all the pizza leaflets that have piled up. So what does the weekend hold?
I am working.
So I should think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pacing around in Australia for a month. So you're working both days, yeah?
I'm working Saturday. I've got a friend's 31st birthday. Him and his wife are having a joint birthday party. So
what was the highlight in Australia, Winx or the Melbourne Cup?
Oh, Winx. Yeah. She's an absolute superstar.
I bet that must have been a right buzz being there,
wasn't it? Incredible. Yeah, there's 40,000 people there to see one horse in one race. 85 to 90% of the crowd were dressed in blue and white, and the place went nuts.
Brilliant.
She walked out from under the grandstand. They come through the grandstand out onto the track, and when she appeared, it was like the start of the Supreme Novices, the roar that went
up. Brilliant. Yeah. DJ, you know all about that, having been there the year before, don't you?
Yeah, I'd love to go back. Amazing. Best trip in the world.
And I presume after your stag weekend, you've got to get your head down now and do all sorts of household chores, have you?
Yeah, do you know what I have to do in the morning, actually? Probably one of the worst jobs for a wedding, the mass booklet. You have to get everything to fit into this little booklet and so people can read the mass. And so I have to go through that in the morning.
How long does the mass last for, DJ?
About an hour and 15 minutes.
Is it?
It's going to take a bit longer to get everyone in the church, though, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah.
Got some guest list.
Oh, he's got some guest list. He has got some guest list, haven't you, DJ? Because the postman delivered in style this week. I've got to say, thank you very much indeed,
What
DJ.
Did you think of the invitations?
I absolutely loved them. They were beautiful, mate. Yes. No, thank you very much indeed for that, my friend. Very exciting. So you're just going to get your head down, sort the mass out, and then go punting, yeah?
I'm working Saturday, and then Sunday I am obviously working in Navan. Yeah, so nice weekend to look forward to.
Brilliant. And Frank, what does the weekend hold for you, my friend?
I'm working all weekend, so it'll be quite enough for me.
Yeah, and punting as well, yeah?
Well, I think the weekend's mood will be dictated by Mr. Antolini.
Okay, well, good luck there. And Frank, I was going to ask you for a Ladbroke Trophy tip, because I assumed you wouldn't be on next week, because you're on so sparingly these days, but you're making a quick seasonal reappearance next week, aren't you?
Yeah, a bit like first assignment. I'm probably not the most robust, but I'm going to chance it next week.
And you tell me that you love the Ladbroke Trophy, one of your favourite races of the year, yeah?
I adore it. It's one of my favourite races. I think it's brilliant, and I can't wait.
And without giving away the horse, have you got your eye on one just yet?
It will be probably dependent on what happens rain-wise between now and Saturday. I don't think there's too much forecast, I had one in mind since last year, but she needs softer ground.
Okay, let's hope for some rain. So we'll be back next week looking ahead to the Ladbroke Trophy and, of course, the Fighting Fifth and all the other racing. But in the meantime, loads more great postcards. Maddie and the gang are back on Monday to look back on this great weekend, looking ahead to what's coming up next weekend. Steve Palmer and Ian McLaughlin back for another golf postcast on Wednesday, and then all the footy boys on Thursday with all the best weekend bets. So if you can't join us for them, please do come back next Friday when we'll be looking ahead to the Ladbroke Trophy.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.